Matthew chapter 7, and from verse 13, Jesus has the following to say. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. What awful words to hear. When we come to stand before Almighty God on that day of judgment, when the days of our life have come to their conclusion, when we pass from time into eternity, when we stand with time behind us and eternity spanning out ahead of us, and the days of reckoning are over, and we stand before Almighty God, and all he has to say unto us is, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And as those who have worked iniquity, we are sent off forevermore into outer darkness to dwell under the eternal judgment and wrath of Almighty God because of the sins which we have committed throughout our life. Those are words which many have heard. Those are words which many will hear. Are they words which will be uttered unto you? They're awful words. Awful words to hear at the end of your life if you've lived denying God, denying his existence, denying his rights, denying his rule, denying his praise, denying his service, denying his glory, denying his gospel, denying his truth, denying his son. Is that the life you live? One where you live as though God does not exist. Whether you pretend to his existence or not, your life is such as though he is not there. You live for yourself. You live for your own glory. You live for your own pleasure. You have a heart which hates Almighty God. A heart which rages at the truth of God. A heart which rages against the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the psalmist says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You may make lip service to God, but if your heart acts as though there is no God, if your heart denies him and his rights and his glory, then on that day when you stand before him and when it's too late, he will say unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Are you one who works iniquity every day of your life? For if you are, and if that's the state you remain in until this day, there's no turning back. There's no undoing what you've done. There's no second chance. You've used up your second, your third, your fourth chances. You did hear. You did hear there was a God. You did hear there was a Jesus Christ. You did hear there was a Saviour of sinners. You did hear there was a way of salvation. And you said, away with this man. You shut him out of your thoughts and your affections. You would not bow the knee to Jesus Christ. You mocked those who followed him. You mocked those who preached him. You mocked those who loved him. You shut him out of your mind. You shut him out of your life. And here's this day come upon you when you cannot rewind the clock, and he will say unto you who hated him, I never knew you. Depart from me. Well, those will be awful words to hear if that's your life. But they're even more awful words to hear if you've lived your life under the delusion that Jesus loves you and that you have served him and that you are saved. And that you have done God's service. When in reality, your profession of faith was a lie. And your belief was in a lie. And your idea of God and Jesus Christ was but an idol of your own making. And all that you did was a deception. It will be even more awful to hear the words, I never knew you. When you stand before this God and say unto him, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And despite your Lord, Lord, and despite your life full of wonderful works as you saw them, And despite your doing things in his name, he turns around to you and says of you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What dreadful words to hear at the end when you think that you love Jesus Christ, when you think that you are saved by him, and all the time you've believed a lie. Now, if you think that's stretching things, it is not, because that's exactly whom Christ is speaking of here. These words are not the words addressed in this context to the wicked in the world who know nothing of God, though they will hear this too. But here the context is those who take God's name upon their lips, who have lived a life of religion, thinking they are saved, when in reality they have fought against the true gospel and believed another gospel. When in reality they have denied the one true and living God and served another God. When in reality they have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and served another Jesus, another Christ of their own making. And in the end they will say, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. Receive me because of what I've done. And he will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are those who speak of Jesus Christ. Blind sinners once, broken and bruised, knowing they are nothing, knowing the corruptions of their natural frame, knowing that their salvation is entirely in God's hands, knowing that they sought him not, but he found them. There are those who know they're nothing. There are those who are brought to know the grace and the mercy of God unto them as broken sinners, who can barely utter the words, Lord, Lord, on that last day. But when they come, full of what he's done for them, knowing that they've done nothing for him, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter ye into your eternal rest. But there are others. Others who've heard of him. Others who seek to follow him. Others that take his name upon their lips. Others full of religion. Others who can tell you the doctrines inside out. Others full of themselves and what they've done for God, who will come unto him, addressing him by name, saying what they have done, following their Lord, Lords, with I have done this and I have done that. Receive me, God, for what I have done. Unto whom he will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. It's not what you know. It's not what you say. It's what he knows and what he says that matters. It's what he has done that matters. You can know all about him, but does he know you? You can say you know him, but will he say, I know you? You can do many things, but has he done something for you? You can speak of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But did the Lord Jesus shed his blood upon that cross for you? Really doesn't matter what you've got to say. But what he will say of you when you stand before him. Consider the differences between these two groups of people. Differences set forth in this chapter. Where Christ begins in verse 13 to say, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." There's a strait gate and a broad gate. A strait gate and a wide gate. A narrow way and a broad way. And there are those on a broad way who will say, "Lord, Lord," at the end, whom he does not know. But there is a narrow way and a straight gate which few find and which few enter by, which leads unto everlasting life. Now, which gate have you entered? Because you can't pass through a narrow gate. You can't pass through a straight gate when you're full of yourself, when you're full of your own glory, when you're full of your own riches, when you're full of your, "I have prophesied in thy name and I've cast out devils in thy name and done many works, wonderful works in thy name." When you're full of what you are and what you have done, you're too fat to pass through this gate. But those that enter by a straight gate and walk along a narrow way are those who have been brought down. Those whom God has shown are sinners. Those who have been broken, those whose burden has rolled from their back, the burden of their sin. Those whose works and self-glorying and self-righteousness has been broken away. Those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The hungry and the thirsty are not fat, but thin. And only the thin can pass through a straight gate. Only those who truly hunger and thirst after that righteousness which God can give. But those who are full of their own righteousness, their own works, their own glory, will never pass through this gate. There's the difference. At the end of the chapter, we see Christ compare those who build a house upon rock with those who build upon sand. The house built upon rock is that which is built upon Christ and his gospel, and on the rock of his gospel, and on the solid truth of his gospel, and on the firm declaration that salvation is of God alone. But the foolish man thinks that he can gain salvation through what he's done, and that God will treat him and receive him freely and easily. The foolish man thinks that he can live in this world full of the world's riches and glory, full of his own self-attainments, and still get to God. The foolish man builds his house upon sand. But when the rains come and the storms come, his house will not stand, no matter what the house may look like. His house may look like the house that the wise man built upon rock. It may look the same outwardly. He may be just as religious. He may go to the meeting like the other man goes to the meeting. He may have sat under the sound of the gospel like the other man has sat under the sound of the gospel. He has a house just like the wise man has a house. But his house is not set upon rock. God didn't take him. And God didn't place him upon the rock. He did the choosing. He did the building. And he built his house upon sand. Where are you building? Because the difference between the two is in the foundation of what is built. Both can speak of the Lord. Both could say, Lord, Lord. But a one has been building upon the foundation of their own glory and righteousness. And the other has been built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. The difference is Christ. The difference is Christ. And those whose house is built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, are no different by nature in themselves from those who build upon the sand. They're no more capable, no more able, no more righteous in themselves. The difference is in the foundation. The difference is that God has took them and built them up. God has placed them on the rock, where everyone else is scrabbling around on the sand. God has shown them what they are and their need of salvation. He's shown them that they need to be delivered from what they are. He's shown them that their good works, their good deeds, their prophesying, their casting out of devils, their wonderful works are just filthy rags in his eyes. They don't pass the test. They need righteousness in order to enter into glory, and they have no righteousness. What they think is righteousness is filthy rags. What you think is righteousness. What you think you have done, which is good in God's eyes, set against his righteous standards, is just full of sin. Full of sin. And this is what Christ has been showing in these few chapters, in this discourse called the Sermon on the Mount, from chapter 5 through to chapter 7. He's been showing that in order to enter glory, his disciples must have a righteousness which exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They must have a righteousness which is perfection. The people knew how zealous the scribes and the Pharisees were for the things of God. The people who heard Christ speaking here, the people here all knew how zealous the scribes and the Pharisees were for the law of God, and how zealous they were in their adherence to that law, and how hard they worked to approve themselves unto God. And yet Christ says, even if you live as well as they live, even if you live and are as zealous and wholehearted and put every hour of every day into your religion as the scribes and Pharisees do, which they did, even if you're as good as they are, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You need a righteousness greater than theirs. And what Christ is saying is not strive harder, is not do better, is not work harder. But he's saying you can't. You can't do it. and you will not attain unto this standard by your efforts. So he goes through in these chapters, showing us and contrasting something of what the law of God said with exactly how righteous you need to be to fulfill that law in its entirety and to attain unto salvation. You've heard it said of them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment, and that is what the law said. But Christ says, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. You must not even get angry. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say, even if you look upon a woman with adulterous thoughts in your heart, you are guilty. You've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now here's a standard and here's a righteousness which not only soars above that which the scribes and the Pharisees sought to attain to, but goes way beyond anything that any man, woman or child is capable of. And Christ is saying, except you attain to this standard, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. No one can. You can't live a life of this standard. You say you love others. Well, love your enemies. You say, I've never murdered. Will never get angry. You cannot attain to this standard. But what Christ is showing is that what you cannot do, what is impossible with man, is possible with God. That there is a people who, though by nature they know they're full of sin, who though by nature they know that they get angry, they know that they hate their enemies, they know that very often they hate their friends and loved ones, they know that they lust and desire after this, that and the other, they know that in them there is no good thing, that though there is a people who know that they could not possibly attain unto the righteousness of God presented here, nevertheless, in the gospel, in Christ, by God's grace and mercy, they are chosen by God to be made the righteousness of God, to be made to attain unto this standard. In Christ, with their house built upon him as their rock and their foundation stone, they not only exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, but they have a righteousness which God the Father can look upon and say, I find no spot or blemish in them. They have the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And they've not wrought it. They've not attained unto it. By nature, they've not even sought it. But God has come unto them in the gospel and found them as lost sheep wandering afar off, and brought them to hear the sound of the truth that he sent his Son into this world to save sinners such as them, that he gave his Son as a sacrifice for them, that God's own Son suffered for them, that his blood was shed for them, that they should be washed and cleansed in him and made to be the righteousness of God. They're brought to hear that, and having faith put in their hearts, they believe that and receive that. And these are the ones whom God can say on that last day, "You are mine. I not only know you, but I have known you from eternity past, chosen in my Son, chosen to receive grace and blessing in the gospel, chosen to enter in at a straight gate and be led along a narrow way, chosen to have your house built upon a rock, chosen to be washed clean, chosen to live and reign in righteousness." The difference is Christ and his gospel and his grace. And yet, despite all that Christ has to say in this discourse, and despite all that is written in these chapters, there were, there are, and there continue to be those who take these very words as some kind of target and goal for which they must live and to which they must try to attain. There are those who take these words of Christ about the law and the contrast of the righteousness of God in the gospel and think that Christ is here merely reinstating that law, emphasizing its spirituality and setting it before the people again as some sort of goal to which they must attain. And there they go off with this understanding and try to live by that understanding. And though they may say much about the grace of God, and though they may profess to be saved by Christ's death and his blood, they live a life trying to live up to this standard. And when they come to stand before God on that last day, their words to him as a consequence, are, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Because they've lived with their law as their rule of life, with their legalizing of the gospel, with their works thrust in the place of free grace, with their acceptance of Jesus overturning the free acceptance of God's elect by God in Jesus Christ alone, because they put their decision in the place of God's decision, their will in the place of God's will, and their works in the place of God's works, their righteousness in the place of the righteousness of God, because they put themselves first, they come betraying themselves and what they are on the last day to Almighty God himself and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have I not done these many wonderful works? Wilt thou not receive me for what I have done?" And he has to say unto them, and he will say to you, if that's you and your heart on that day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Because it doesn't matter what you profess of Christ and his gospel, or what you claim, if your heart cries out, "Lord, Lord, I have done these wonderful works, receive me," if that is your language, then he will say, "I never knew you." His children, those that enter in at the straight gate, those who know his grace and mercy, those who are blessed by his gospel are those who say nothing of self, except that I am a sinner, but are full of the grace, the love, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Their language is full of what he has done for them, though they deserve it not. The difference is Christ and his grace. This whole discourse is full of his grace. It's full of his grace. It opens by declaring the blessedness of God to his people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Not the strong in spirit, not the mighty, not the knowledgeable, but the poor, the weak, those who say, I don't understand, I'm nothing, I struggle, I doubt, I fear, I'm nothing. If that's you, you're one of that type, of whom Christ says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not those who rejoice in what they've done, and in how wonderful and great their church is, and in how powerful their ministry is, and in how great their church program is performing, and how wonderful their courses are in gathering in the lost into their community church, into their great growing church, which is reaching out into all the community round about. How great we are, how wonderfully God is blessing us. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn because they're nothing. Mourn because they're weak. Mourn because they're few. Mourn because they're cast out. Mourn because they're rejected by the religious world around them. Mourn because the way is hard. Mourn because they're brought to walk on the same way that their Lord Jesus walked. Cast out and rejected by a world around them, but received by God. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're thin. They enter in through a strait gate, for they shall be filled. But if you're full now, full of your self-righteousness and glory, you'll never enter in. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. These are the sort which enter in through that gate. These are those who will be received, not those full of self and what they have done. Now, what is your language? What does your heart say? What will you say unto God on that last day? Lord, Lord, in thy name I have done many wonderful works. In thy name I have preached the gospel. In thy name I have led the church. In thy name I have led the Bible studies. In thy name I have led many to Christ. In thy name I have done this, I have done that. Depart from me. I never knew you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But chapter 7 opens up with a description of those who are without mercy, as so many religious professing Christians are. So much of what is called Christianity, so many who claim to be Christians, are utterly mean in their character and attitude towards others. Christ says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in my brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How many people go about who profess to love God, who profess to follow Jesus Christ, who are constantly finding out and pointing out the mote in their brother's eyes? Constantly finding fault, constantly judging others, constantly measuring themselves against others, and boosting themselves up, boosting their knowledge up by rubbishing the understanding or knowledge of another, boosting up their own glory by finding fault in another, judging utterly without mercy, mean. Is that you? Oh, they say, I'm defending the faith, I'm standing for the truth, I'm walking in righteousness. Did you see what that fellow did? He's not bringing glory under Christ's name. It needed to be pointed out. I had to show him. Consider the beam, my friend, in your eye. The beam in your eye. And be merciful unto your brother's failings. For blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is a book about grace, and this is a sermon about grace, and the difference between those who enter in and those who hear the words, I never knew you, is grace. Not your knowledge, not your understanding, not your decision, not your will, not your upbringing, not your association, not your heritage, not your birthright, not where you go to church, not what you've read, not where you've studied, not what you have done, but grace. Grace. But these who cry out, Lord, Lord, are constantly finding fault with others, constantly comparing themselves with others, constantly judging others. Yet the child of God, the recipient of grace, asks and he receives. He knocks and it is opened unto him. He doesn't earn, it's all given. He isn't rewarded for what he's done, he's rewarded for what God has purposed to do for him. God took him, a filthy, black, corrupt sinner, and cleansed him and washed him clean in the blood of the Lamb of God, and placed him upon a rock, and said unto him, though you are persecuted, though men revile you, though the religious reject you and hate you because you speak of my grace, because you speak of electing grace, because you speak of the sovereignty of God, though they despise and hate you and cast you out, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Not a reward you've earned, but a reward I've set before you by grace. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. I will reward you in the end. You may suffer now. You may be hated now. You may be cast out now. But I have chosen you. I know you. I have known you from eternity. I have loved you in my Son. And that is why I've brought you through a strait gate, as one who's been stripped of all you have, stripped of all your glory, stripped of self, stripped of all your worth, stripped of your works, stripped of your sin, stripped of the guilt of your sin, stripped of all you have, and made to be hungry and thirsty. I've brought you through that gate, that strait gate, to make you righteous. Oh, God must make you like this. God must strip you of all. all your pride, all your religion, all your works, all your self-righteousness, all your worldliness, all your false professions, all your easy believism, all your pretense to grace whilst indulging the flesh, all your arrogance, all your indulgence, all your intellect, your letterhead knowledge, all your learning, all must be stripped away, for you are nothing. You are nothing. But if you are brought to know you're nothing, and confess you're nothing, and say you're nothing, and brought by this way and led forth by this gate to enter in, then you will know an exceeding great reward. You may say, but doesn't Christ tell us in Luke, in a similar passage repeating these words, that we should strive to enter in at this gate? Doesn't he say that we should work at it? We should use our effort at it. Yes, he does say there, strive to enter in. But he says, because you will not get in by your striving. You will not. Just as he says to the scribes and Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but ye will not come unto me. He tells them, go and do it, go and find, go and read them, but you won't come unto me. And there you go, reading and reading and reading and never coming unto me. So go and strive to enter in at this gate. Go on, go with your works. Go with your own strength. See if you can get through. But you'll never get through a gate that narrow. Whilst you have all this worldliness, all this religion, all this self-righteousness upon your back, you must be stripped. And only I can bring you through. Go and work at it. See where you get. You'll get nowhere. You'll get to that day in the end where you stand before me with your Lord, Lord. And I will say unto you, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, you speak much, you study much, you read the scriptures, but you won't come unto me. All your reading, your religion, your intellect, you won't come unto me. You worship the scriptures. You worship the letter. You worship the law. You paint the sepulchres of the prophets, of the reformers, of the Puritans. But you won't come unto me. I never knew you. But Christ, broken, bruised, despised, rejected, thin, wasting away, hungry, thirsty little ones, these enter in, for only these can. Christ warns of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing when they're ravening wolves, warns that evil trees cannot bring forth good fruit. He warns of those prophets, warns of those prophets who will take these very words in this Sermon on the Mount and turn them into works for you to follow. When Christ is merely showing us that without his grace and his righteousness, we will never enter in. Christ is speaking to disciples, those who are disciplined, those who walk. You may say, well, isn't that a working? It is. But a disciple of Christ is he whom God has taught, is he whom God has stripped and brought to be nothing. Is he unto whom Christ comes in the gospel as he came to his disciples, as recorded in Matthew and the other gospel, and comes to them where they are and says, follow me. And they give up all and follow him. They give up their works, their glory, their own ability, their own righteousness, their religion. They say they're nothing and they turn and they follow Christ. And their discipline is to give up all and to say they're nothing and to receive his grace and to follow him. All is by grace. Disciples are those unto whom Christ has come because he knows them and he seeks them and he finds them and he comes in his gospel wherever they may be, perhaps here this day, and he comes in his gospel to wherever they are, in whatever state they are, and says unto them, by name, follow me. Follow me. And those words of grace, that voice of the Son of God, speaking unto the dead who lie in graves, is powerful enough to raise up the dead, to lead them forth, and to cause the most hardened of sinners to turn from this world, to turn from their religion, to turn from the darkness unto the light, and to enter in at a straight gate which leads unto everlasting life. That word, that gospel, that voice brings grace. That voice is a voice which the people said, when they'd heard it declaring this gospel unto them, they were astonished at his doctrine. They said, never man spake like this man, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Have you heard him? Have you heard him calling unto you? Has he said unto you, follow me? If he has, get up and follow him. Or will he say unto you on that last day, when you waltz into his presence, full of self, saying, Lord, Lord, I have done these wonderful works in thy name. Will his parting words unto you be, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.